I think it's in the 42nd Psalm, 43rd Psalm. The writer is downcast. Why is it so? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. In the margin we read, his presence means salvation. He is present, and he comes with salvation, that which we need. We all need salvation. We all come, I imagine that most people come with a need. But there is a sufficiency in Jesus to meet every need of ours. This morning I woke with that verse in Lamentations 3. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Now just consider that. The Lord is my portion. And again, I say that in him, every need of ours has already been met. And so we come with that expectation. Hope means confident expectation. Do we have that confidence that the Lord is present to meet our particular need, regardless of the nature of that need? There, in this hymn, in number 16 in our hymn book, there is a wideness, it says, of God's mercy. And then the last verse says this, if our love were but more simple. I think sometimes we're too complicated. If our love were but more simple, we should take him at his word, and our lives would be all sunshine in the sweetness of our God. To take him at his word. God intends to fulfill his word, make it good in our experience, and so we can lay hold. I like that. We should take him at his word. I was in the service of our country for 35 months. And I don't know how it happened. I really can't tell you how it happened, but the Lord laid into my heart two verses. The one is Exodus 14:14. I'll fight for you. You hold your peace. And the other is, as it has been spoken by our sister here, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, that we might be conformed unto his image. You know, nothing by any means can hurt us. All things must serve God's purpose and intent over our lives. And so I went into the service with those two verses. And how the Lord, I think I daily brought, or it came to my attention again, to see how the Lord worked in my behalf. I did not go in as a conscientious objector. I wanted just to trust the Lord to place me where he wanted me. You think that was a good thought, a good idea? Just to trust him. Because I had seen how my brother Herbert was a conscientious objector and how much trouble they made for him. I was ready to talk to some of those people that had the oversight. But anyway, I trusted him. And I trusted him to place me in such a situation that I wouldn't kill anybody. I had no desire to kill anybody. Well, why are you in the service? There's an adversary that has risen against us. We need to fight against that person or those people. Well, to make a long story short, you know, I eventually got into the non-combatant arm of the service. I was in the Air Force. I was drafted into the Air Force. Now, that was in itself quite strange to be drafted. You have to enlist to join the Air Force. But I was drafted into the Air Force. And I did well in that I trusted the Lord to take a charge of my life, fight for me. You know, you have to be in the service to understand that a little bit. You're not your own. Once you are given or join the service, or you're not your own. They will do what they see best. And so I used to write home and tell my, I wasn't married at that time, but Martha, about things that were taking place. And you know, before that letter got home, something else happened. And I was moved. And so I learned to wait until I got there, and then I could announce the fact that I was in such and such a place. But how wonderfully the Lord worked for me. I became a propeller specialist. I was a specialist. And that being the case, you know, things were going bad at the Battle of the Bulge. So they took from the Air Force able-bodied men and put them into the Army. But they couldn't touch me because I was a specialist. You see how the Lord worked? And then I was kept back. There were about five of us were kept back. Those who were with me went overseas. I was kept back because the B-29 was coming out, the Flying Fortress, and they wanted men to be trained on that airplane. But they didn't get me. I escaped that also because I didn't want to take, you know, the training for an aerial gunner. You had to take that. It was compulsory, but the Lord saw fit that I didn't go, and here I was. I was stranded. And then I was moved all. They don't let you lay around too long. Put you on another ship and so on. I think I went all over the States. Ultimately, I landed at, well, it wasn't ultimately, but I came to Kearns, Utah. I think I was in Memphis, Tennessee. And I was appointed to go to Kearns, Utah. That's an overseas replacement depot. And so I got there. But then the war was over. And so I didn't go overseas. I stayed in this country. But this is the thing that happened. I came eventually to Maryland. I don't know what the name of that field was, but I came there, and we were using the B-17, they called it the B-17. We carried supplies overseas, And in order to go overseas from Maryland, they came to LaGuardia. So I had an opportunity to get a free ride to LaGuardia. If I had the pass, I could get on one of those planes. They'd take me up there. And I believe I was at home in my own church for over a year. Can you believe that? That the Lord so arranged it for me that I was able to attend the meetings in the Ridgewood Church. How wonderful that was. And so it pays to trust Him. Trust Him for your life and your directions. Lord, lead me in that way which you would have me to go. I'm in your hands. And so the Lord worked. And there were times when I just simply wept when I saw, because my boss was a wicked man. He didn't like me. Well, how can that be? I mean, if he's wicked, there was nothing compatible between us, and so on. he made it difficult. He threw me out of the shop once, but he couldn't do that either. I went to the chaplain, and the chaplain embraced me, and he said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Nothing is wrong, really." But I was so thankful. I want to learn that better, continue to understand that all things work together for good. I didn't think I needed that, but the Lord saw that I needed it. And the thing that you are presently experiencing, perhaps you think that you didn't need that. But the Lord sees that we do need these places where we have to cast ourselves wholly upon Him. I don't know what time it is, really.
We've got 10 more minutes. Keep going.
There was another thought that I had, and that is this. I don't know whether you've heard of Lillian Yeomans. Some of you no doubt have. She was a renowned physician, Canadian. Her family, they were all in the medical field. And she was in the medical field. And in order to, you know, meet the demands that were placed upon her, she took something to help her to go on after, you know, her time. She went on extra time. Well, she found out that she was an addict. She became addicted to that, and she couldn't throw that off. But there was a man who gave himself to prayer, and he prayed through in her behalf. But she became an evangelist. She had a healing ministry. So she came to United States, somewhere it was in the States, that she came and had her campaign. And she was staying in a hotel on the 9th floor of that hotel. And when she came home after the service one evening, the elevators were not running. So she had to climb the steps to the 9th floor. Now, she did it rather spryly. She came, went up, and others wondered at her. They couldn't, because she was, I think, in her 80s, and then having to climb those steps. "And how is it?" they asked. Well, she said, "They don't know how to take. We have to take from the Lord." we have to take from him. As I've earlier stated, that's why he has come to minister to our need and to my need. I'm glad for that, because I came here, I have a need. I have a need. But as I've mentioned, that need has already been met in him, and so I'm taking from him. I take you, Jesus. I take you now for all of my need. I know I'm not going to be disappointed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There is nothing that he cannot do and will not do if we lay hold. As I said, he has come, and he comes with salvation. Thank you, Lord. And so I would, while you're here at the camp, just look to the Lord. Whatever need you might have. You know, I was talking about Peter, the fellow that wrote, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and how he was fond of children. And here he saw this little boy wanted to ring the bell. And so he picked him up and he rang the bell. And then he said, "Now it's time to run." Instead of waiting there until the door opened. And I said, sometimes we have to do that. Just wait before the Lord until he opens the door. But then I thought, you know, that door has already been opened. He's with us. He's here now. And he's come. You have that in Zechariah. "Thy king cometh unto thee. He's meek and lowly, riding upon an ass." He comes with salvation. And he comes to us. Praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you that you have undertaken our case completely, and we can find all that we need in you. Jesus, open our understanding, open our eyes,
yes, Lord.
Lord, that we might see how great a salvation you come to minister to us. And so may our experience be one of receiving as many as received him. Our salvation ought to be one of receiving him, Jesus, more of him, more of him, Jesus. Let's trust him. Let's be in faith for one another,
yes, Lord.
That the Lord will be glorified.
Hallelujah.
Number 16.
Number 16 in our hymn book. Let's stand as we sing. Number 16.
There's a kindness in his justice.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sister Heidi, pray with us, please.
Dear Lord, I ask tonight that you would help us to just take you at your word.
Yes, Lord.
And to just trust you.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you for all the reassurances we've been given over the years, Lord. You help us take them and run with them and trust you, God. You're a good God.
Amen.
Thank you for speaking to us tonight. Thank you for the testimonies that we heard.
Yes, Lord.
Bless us. Bless the ones that leave tomorrow.
Yes, Lord.
Bless us tomorrow in the village as we worship
oh,
together.
Oh, God.
Lord, speak to the boys' hearts and the girls in the cottage.
Yes, Lord.
Speak to us and help us to thank you and to worship you. Thank you for this meeting tonight. Thank you that you're here with us. Bless us as we go.
Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.